Yes, we can. Psalm 42, if you would please, I'm naming to include this psalm this evening. We have been looking at this one, a familiar, those who read the psalms, familiar with Psalm 42, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after God. And David soon discovered that he had to have his hope was in the Lord, but that didn't mean that he wasn't going to have problems. And frequently when you read the Psalms, you understand that David had numerous problems, troubles. And frequently when he starts a psalm, he will start with a lament, or at some point in the psalm, he'll have a lament over a condition that he's dealing with. But then before the psalm ends, you will hear him praising God because he knows either what God is doing, or he bases his praise on what God has done. Therefore, he knows he can depend upon God. And that's the way it has gone in Psalm 42. Now, he had many accusers, many critics, and the end of verse 3, those critics would ask him, "Where is thy God?" Because he was having troubles, they began to accuse David of wrongdoing. They began to accuse him of faithlessness. Thank you. They began to accuse him of various things, and they summed it all up with, "Where is your God? You talk about God, you claim God, you don't want to be so religious. Now, where is your God?" In other words, how come you have these problems you have? How come you have this trouble? How come you're so down in the mouth? How come you're so despondent? You're supposed to be a believer in God. Where is your God? You know, David's not the only one who's heard that. David's not the only one who's heard that. Now we're at verse 6. And he says there, "Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me." Now there he did it. He just did it. He did what we need to do. And that is, when we are down, tell God.
Yes, sir.
Okay? When we're having problems spiritually, tell God. He knows. We may as well tell him. He knows. And the benefit of telling him is that we're opening up our heart to him, our life to him, and there's no pretense. Okay? We try to make pretense before God, and it's one thing to make pretense before another person. It's not a good thing to do, but you know, I understand why we would make a pretense of being spiritual and strong and yes, praise the Lord. Yeah, I know God's good and God's great. Yeah, but I feel rotten and I don't really feel like praising him. But, you know, I certainly don't want to. And so we keep up a pretense. But there's no point keeping a pretense up with God.
That's right.
Because he knows just what is. And so he says there, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee." And then he names places, the land of Jordan, which had to do with the Jordan River and likely referring to the area of Judah, and of the Hermonites, and that was a particular area within what we call the Holy Land. And then from the hill Mizar, what I could learn about the hill Mizar means small. And so this was a small hill, not one of the greater hills of Jerusalem, but a smaller hill. These were areas that at some point David was in, and they had some meaning to David. Just like there's places in your life that you could refer to that would have meaning to you. They wouldn't mean much of anything to me. I may not even know where they are, but to you, they're very meaningful. And places where God did something for you. You say, now I know that the Vadises, they're gonna be going down to Texas. Big celebration down there in the church. You still headed there? Okay, they're going down to Texas, okay. Now, there are some places in Texas where God did some things for them, where God gave them some blessings. And if they were talking about God working in their life, they'd be able to refer to this town or name that church, you say, and places. And that's what David's doing right here. Now, there are times when seemingly little progress is being made in life. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to the place where it doesn't seem like you're making any spiritual progress? Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his own good pleasure." It doesn't say he will work in you. It says he is working in you. And so when you feel like David, oh my God, I'm so low and so down. Hey, Paul says God's working in you. Doesn't say he's going to work in you. And it definitely doesn't say he's working in you when you feel spiritual. As a matter of fact, he's probably working in you more when you don't feel spiritual. Because he knows what you need. For it is God which worketh in you. Now, in verse 7, we have two pictures of a phenomena from creation. One is a water spout, and the other is waves. Notice both of them. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. So what he is going, he's using water spouts to illustrate how God is dealing with him. And then he goes on and he says, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Now, a water spout is when there would be a particular conglomeration, gathering of clouds that were so filled with water, and they empty, just as it says, as a water spout. I don't know feet-wise how big would a water spout be, but it's in a more confined area. It's not like a thunderstorm where you get, you know, a shower from here down to Bev's place, okay? I mean, this is more confined. And that water spout comes down with such force. Now, I had to read about this. I'm not a weatherologist, okay? And so I don't know about these things naturally. But this is what they tell me. That water spout just comes down with such force and loudness, roaring. And David says, God's water spouts. You see, now these people are saying, where is your God? And his God is now pouring down on his life something that he describes as tantamount as a waterspout. And he said, thy waves and billows. Okay? He doesn't say the waves and billows. He says, thy waves and billows. God is doing things to him. Okay? Don't always assume that everything that we consider bad, don't always assume that everything that we consider not good is from the devil.
That's right.
Here, it's God who brings the waves and the billows. He brings it. And, you know, again, I loved going to the ocean. I loved being around the ocean. But somebody who worked or works on the ocean, okay, or somebody who would travel or be vacationing frequently on the ocean, they were at the ocean a lot. They understand what David's saying by the waves and billows rolling. One heartache after another. One problem compounding another problem. Over and over again, David is meeting difficulty. And were it not for the grace of God, he would have gone under. But the waves and the billows did not take him under, because he talks here in the 8th verse, and you notice the first word in the 8th verse is yet. Okay? Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness. He said over and over again, these problems come, these troubles come. And just like a water spout that would just literally wipe you out. Yet the Lord command his loving kindness. And he says he commands his loving kindness. So David was not walking around wearing sackcloth and ashes. David was not walking around, woe is me, with his shoulders slumped and how you doing, David? Oh, I'm all right. I'll be okay. You know? No, that doesn't describe David. David, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. David depended upon prayer, and he knew that prayer is what was going to get him through. And listen, if Jesus Christ needed to pray, do you think we might need to pray? I would imagine so. Hebrews 13:5 is still true. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness. Doesn't say he's going to suggest it. It doesn't say that, when he's taking care of other things, then he'll get around to doing it. No, the Lord, he says, will command his loving kindness. And in the day and in the night, and God is going to be with me. Now, I read a story about a Scottish pastor named John Watson. The name means nothing to us. I merely identify as he is in the story. And this pastor Watson went to call on a man who was in his church. The man in his church had suffered a heavy financial loss. I mean, like he was totally crushed economically. And so the pastor went to see him and greeted him at the door. He left him in, and the man looked at the pastor and said, everything is gone. Everything is gone. And without hesitation, the pastor said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that your wife is dead. And the man looked up in alarm and questioned him about it. And he said, and I'm doubly grieved to hear that you've lost your character. And then Pastor Watson named one asset after another, till the man finally spoke up and protested. And he says, I've not lost any of those things. Oh, lovingly, but clearly, the pastor said, I thought you said you lost everything. And then in a very tender but firm voice, the pastor said, brother, come to your senses. You've lost none of these things that are really of any worth. Sometimes we get our eyes on the wrong thoughts. Sometimes we miss out on what God is trying to show us. Wait, be it a wave, a billow, or sometimes it is the crushing of a water spout experience in our life. But David knew the place of prayer. In the 9th verse, I will say unto God, my rock. Hear how he's describing God? I will say unto God, my rock. Now notice what he says. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Have any of us ever said such to God? Have any of us ever thought such before God? God, why? What are you doing? Why have you forgotten us? Why aren't you working? But he is working. He hasn't forgotten us. Charles Haddon Spurgeon is quoted as saying, it is a pitiable thing for any man to have a limb amputated. But when we know that the operation was necessary in order to save his life, we are glad to hear that the operation was a success. And so it is. None of us wants to go through the trials and tribulations and problems that we go through, but when we begin to realize that it is necessary in the sight of an almighty God, yes, sir, to let us go through or to take us through that thing, then indeed we realize, just as David there, why hast thou forgotten me? We realize God hasn't forgotten him. Verse 10, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? There comes that accusation again. You see, whatever it is that David's been doing, however it is that David's been living, they are still casting this up to David. Now, we know from reading the rest of the Psalms and from studying the whole of David's life that he overcomes that. And they no longer are able to cast that accusation to him. But at this point in his life, they're still asking him that. Where is thy God? And then David goes on and says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And he goes, you see, he's going back to the 9th verse, why have you forgotten me? But then now he makes a shift. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Now he begins to question himself. You can see him beginning to come to the place where he now realizes the problem is him. Okay? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now, we don't know just how much time transpired between the reading of verse 8 and 9 and then verse 11. It's a short space. But we don't know how much space may have gone in between these statements that he's making. We do know this, whether it be short or long, he came to the point where he acknowledges that it is God who is the health of his countenance. God is the one who will see him through. And you and I know this. We know this.
Yes, sir.
We know God will see it through. We know how it is. One of the things that I read in anticipation of this, just like with the man that the Scottish pastor went to, I think that's where I read it in that story, where when he said, get hold of yourself, man. You have to understand, money can buy books, but books can't buy brains. Money can buy food, but it can't buy health. Money can buy a bed, but it can't buy sleep. Okay? Definitely money can buy sinful pleasures, but it can't buy peace. Yes. And so there's many a thing we can get, but all of the things that are of value and of significance comes from God. I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Father in heaven, we need your help. We need your work. Without it, dear Father, we are like a ship without a sail. We are like a vehicle without a steering wheel. Lord, many illustrations could point out how helpless and hopeless we are without your presence in us. Now, Father, we know these things because we read them in your Bible, in your word. Nevertheless, Father, we want to live them in our life. We want them to be the experience of our faith. Not just the talk of our faith, but the living of our faith. That, dear Father, is what we
need. Yes, help us, help us, help us.
We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.